You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 8. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, here we are. So deal with us according to your goodness and your grace for your glory. And our God, we're going to thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. God, if you're general humans as we are, and humans across the face of the earth get out of bed and go to bed, and they have their responsibilities and their lifestyle and everything, what they have to do every day and how they do it, where they do it, work, home, school, whatever they do. And they do it. And they do it with no connection to God. We just do what we do, seemingly, as best we can, most of the time. And we do it. And now, that's what we do. And the outworking of it, it's called the world system. And the world system's busy maneuvering, managing, what happens everywhere, and that's how it works. And we live within that system. We live in it now, and we live in that system, and that system is being outworked. Now, having said that, when we come to know the Lord as our Savior, it changes. It changes. So we've got the general system we have in Romans and all of that. And God gave them up to their own ways because they left God out. They didn't include God. They excluded God. So everyone does that which they want to do. And that's how they do it. And we live with more or less consequences of what we do. Now, so when you come to know the Lord as your Savior, God does a wonderful thing. And you know, think of John 1 and 12. As many as received him to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God. And we're born again once. We are born physically, and we're born spiritually. And we're brought into the family of God as his children. Now, having said that, but God, you didn't leave it at that. You add to that. So when we read Romans in chapter 8, among other things, we are reminded, if I can, in verse 15. For we have not received the spirit of bondage, again, to fear, caught up in the world system, but we have received, think of John 1:12, as many as received him. We have received the spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. And adoption, remember, is the word son, and the verb to place somebody as a son. What is adoption? Adoption is taking someone outside and bringing them inside. Inside. They don't belong. They do belong. God brings them in. Now, so whatever they were doing outside, apart from that, they did it, like just all the rest of the world does. But when a person comes to know the Lord as the Savior, God takes them and places them in a relationship to himself, in whose presence we are, and places us in a unique relationship to himself, and we are sons. We are the full blossomed, just, we're brought in, and in 5 minutes, once we go through the door, everything in that house, we are treated as a son. When we go through the door, we're treated as a son. So the table that we never sit at, the cook, the serving, everything, we never had it. When we go, God places us as a son, he moves us into his domain, in his rule. We become his body in this day of grace. And we're placed in. So David, what David knew, table thou hast replaced before me, in the presence of mine enemies. But that's awesome, and we've been looking at that to understand it. But we have a huge advantage, even more than David. Wonderfully so. And the only way we can come to grips with it is to understand the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, his unique relationship to God. And if you can just understand his relationship to God, you can begin to understand yours. It's an awesome thing. God places us as the Son in the Son. We are sons. Now, having said that, over, if you would please, to the book of Philippians. And in the book of Philippians, picking up, please, in thought, and you'll remember, here's the believer that's saved, and the believer now is adopted son, placed into the family of God, into the facility of God, having all the benefits instantly, if they understand it, and to take them. Now, having said those benefits, here's the table. And the adopted son doesn't cook. The adoption son isn't the owner. The adoption son, as you read in Romans of 8:15, what do? We're brought into the family of God, and we say, and the Spirit of God never will cease, present tense, he never will cease reminding you, you are a child of the Father, Abba, Father. Never forget the Father. He's the boss. He's the head of the house. You never call the shots. The Father does all of the business. It's his, our Lord said it in Luke 2 and that. I must be about my what? My Father's business. I'm not in business here for anyone except my Father. So here we are looking, God, and being in business, what are we supposed to do? Well, we go to the table and eat whatever's there, and God takes care of us as sons in that house, in that relationship to God. Now, having that relationship, we can either go and pick up, understandably, whatever it is to be a son, whatever it is to be God, having God as your Father. He knoweth the need, think of John 6 and that. He knoweth the need before we ever ask him. And you never need to ask, because he's there. He knows the need. So here we are looking to God. And in that place, we can either believe God and enjoy growing and knowing and glowing and the glory of God. We can develop in the house. And we either are going to go and conform and believe. We shared it this morning. You've got to believe. The believer has to be believing. What's the sense of believing the food on the table is good, but if you don't eat it, what good's it going to do you? If you never open your mouth and make the food disappear, what good's it going to do? Say, I believe. Well, so what? That didn't give you any nourishment. You have to be believing. And believing puts the food into your mouth. That's where it goes. Into your stomach and that, and digestive system. Now, so having said that, we have to be believers, and God does that. And or we can go as believers and do like we did before we were adopted, outside the house, and we're used to doing outside the house till we get saved, and we're used to doing it. So we do what we do. We do what other people do. We follow what other people do. We do what other people think, because we picked it up over the weeks, the days that we live on planet Earth. That's how we live. And that's called carnal, fleshly. We don't have to do it anymore, but we are. Because it's our old nature in here, inside of us. So I have to understand that. I'm no more, we said. What we were, we are not anymore. And what we will be, we have not become. And here we are. So God, we're in the process of change, of development. But you leave us on earth to represent you in a marvelous way as sons. And therefore, when we walk up and down the street, you know, school, work, easy things, hard things, home, with all the everything going on, we're sons. And of all the people, angels looking, good guys and bad guys, and there's a child of God. And there's a child of God. There's a child of God. They know. There they are. And looking, and especially if they're trying to walk. So now, Philippians chapter 2, adding, as we did, if you're a child of God, an adopted son, then what do you do? Well, then you have to work out being a son. And therefore, you go to verse 12, 2, Philippians 2, 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And you're working out a relationship. You were adopted son, and we share together all the different things. But what God's going to do is a choice. His menu, his development for you is already in the works. So he which hath begun a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, is going to finish it if you let him. So God has a wonderful plan. He adopted you as sons, children of God, into the family, to have all the benefits. What for? To grow up, to glow, to go, to glory God, and glory in God, to enjoy growing up, becoming a son. That's how what God did when he saved you. Now, and therefore, we share together, we're to work out our own salvation, not anyone else's. And as you know a thousand times, verse 13, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God's going to do what he's going to do in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And because why? Because you're willing to work out his salvation. God saved you, and you're willing to be a son, to be saved, and to work that out. And who's going to work it out? Who knows how to work it out? Who's the cook? Who's the head of the house? Who are you a son of? You're a son of God, a son of the Father. Wow. So God, you're going to do what you're going to do. I am. So I have to be a believer that's believing, and I want whatever. So I'm going to cooperate. I'm not going to be murmuring and mumbling and grumbling. I'm going to roll up my sleeves and understand I'm not outside of the house, I'm inside. I'm not a stranger and a foreigner. I am a son, a literal, real son of God. Then I want to what? I want to enjoy being a son of the Father who takes care, who said over and over again, he takes care of everything. We aren't like the world anymore. That's outside there. That's where I used to be. But we aren't there now. We're here. We're inside. So therefore, we don't do that anymore. We have a whole new world. We can look out the window and see all that's going on. It always is going on. It never changes until they want to come in by believing and coming in into God's wonderful family. Then they get saved, and they enjoy the same thing we do. They're able to do it. So now, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his wonderful, wonderful, good pleasure. So God's going to do what he does in a most wonderful, wonderful way, and God's going to do it. And what do we know? Well, if we're trying to say that this morning, that's what you're going to do. We're looking to God. Do we look to what's on the table? No, because that gets very complicated. Because we don't know. And your lifestyle, as we're going to go ahead here, the lifestyle, everything that happens around you as you go in his steps and in his way, in his time, everything around you happening. Because it's in your little realm, your world, in your neighborhood, in your heart, in your family, in your friends and enemies. That's where it's all going. So you got to understand that. It's all running. It's all running around. But the difference is you're in the same thing. You just have gone from being outside the house to inside the house. having no table into your own world system, into God's table, into God's family. Now, so having said that, and keeping that in mind, then God, you're going to take care of us, and we're going to have to go and believe and trust you, and you're going to outwork, because only you can. And we reminded you this morning, I think, to remind you that when you, whatever you know about things, that's true in everything. Medical doctor, whatever you want to be, a scientist, geophysicist, whatever you want to be, whatever you are, and you study, and you have to study again. And whatever you know, if you can study effectively, you'll find out you'll have to re-know it. You'll have to re-understand it. You'll have to re-look at it. Wow. And especially as we go in this electronic age, 5G or whatever it is, I guess that's speed or something, and whatever, it's faster than you can walk, 5G is. So in the process, all of this is going on, and the world is so moving electronically and thus realistically in us, around us, because our mind is captured with all kinds of things happening, flashing. When you used to live, David Crockett and that, you lived out there in the woods and you had a chicken and you shot the chicken and had chicken for dinner and hope the Indians don't attack you, and that's what you do. Life's pretty simple. And you had no idea what's happening in Russia or anywhere else. You don't know. See? You don't even know if Geronimo is still alive or not. Wow. So here we are. God within electronic age. And that is overwhelming. We have no knowledge of it. The faster it goes, everything, it's thousands and thousands and thousands of pieces of information flashing. And we don't have answers to them. We don't understand them. And we don't have time to ever learn them. They're just there. And they're carrying us. We don't even realize it. We're being carried by the electronic system, which is going to be our master not too long. It already is our master, the electronic system. And therefore, as we go down, so we have to look to God. And we have to look to God because we aren't going to answer it. So we need to look. And we look to God. So it isn't what the circumstances are in your life or the rest of it. You're going to trust God and look to God. God has no problem with any of it. And we know that. So what are we doing? We're in the presence of God. I need to practice 1,000 times. We've said it. You need to practice the presence of God practically and realistically. God's here. No, God, what am I going to trust God? I don't know. I'm driving my car, cooking my dishes, doing the dishes, whatever I'm doing. I want to trust God. I'm in his presence. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have any answers like he does. He has everything. So I keep doing what I do the best I understand it, as much as I understand it. And I'm trusting God, though, so that I'm free as the things change, and I'm free for God to help me work out everything that he's going to have happen. So I'm free to move like that. The truth will set you free going forward. Now, having said that little bit and going forward in a wonderful way, all things work together for good, etc., and we share that together. Now, in the light of that, so we're looking to God. And now I want to add to that, if I may, in looking to God and all these things, so many things. Looking to God as we take the steps, as we go down the way, his way, in his will, God out serving, doing everything, and we're learning to trust God so that that's how we're going to handle anything. And when I'm trusting God, what's it going to do? Philippians 4:6. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to get wandering. I'm not going to lose it because I'm looking to God, trusting God, thanking God, thanks, thank you, God, thanksgiving. And I'm going to do that. And the peace of God's going to help me relax I may have to be very tight in what I'm doing, but I'm going to relax. I'm not solving anything. I'm letting it work out, trusting God, and doing everything I can as much as I understand it. That's what I'm going to do. But I'm trusting God. Now, over to Psalm 31. And in Psalm 31, if I can, picking up if I may. Now, we shared together at some length, chapter 31, verse 15. David said, "My times are in thy hand," God's hand, "and deliver me from the hands of mine enemies. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," etc., "I will fear no evil. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies," enemies, enemies, enemies. They're all over the place. Everything's against you enjoying God. You got that? Everything, including your old nature, is against you enjoying being saved, being a son, being a child of God. Everything is against it. There's nothing for it. The only one that's for it is God. Now you got to know that. Because if you're looking to take on this, you're going to have to understand God's the only one that cares about it. There's no one else that cares about it. They don't care about you knowing God. Enjoying God? Hang on, we may get there. Over to Isaiah, Psalm 31. "My times are in thy hand, and deliver me from the hand of my enemies," from the hands of my enemies, "and deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me." Now, then, instantly with that in mind, we jump without having a disconnect. Verse 16, "Make thy face to shine upon me, and thy servant save me for thy mercy's sake." Make thy face, remember the word faces, there's the word, face to face, all over the place. You just have to keep connecting it. "Make thy face to shine upon thy servant." Now God, David, that's what David said. Now David's looking to God. He's got a table before him, and he's looking to God, and his times, everything around his life, like ours, the system, the governments, and education, and everything, all over the place around us, and has influenced everything, and we're in the middle of this now. So therefore, make thy face to shine, and the verb shine has to do with the word light. And shining, bright, like the sunlight. Shining. And it's causative. That's why it says make, cause. God, make, cause thy sun. Make thy face shine upon me. Hang on to that. Moses was face to face with God. Israel refused to be face to face with God. And they have never had it until he comes. But the believing heart, here we are. Now God, to have as sons such a relationship, absolutely. Now, so make thy face to shine. Now we've got to go. And God, would you help us? With David, David's going to say it different ways, to help us. So that we can, David, what did you mean? Make your face shine. Is he going to laugh? What's it mean to make your face shine? What do you want God to do? I want his face to shine upon me. I want his light to shine upon me in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, over if you would please, to get a sense of it, so we'll sort of build it and let it exercise, let the word exercise us. And so therefore, showing God's favor and grace, this light, this shining, and no mass, direct, Psalm 89. And in Psalm 89, pick up, if I can, and you'll see it in the light of everything. Psalm 89, and in verse 15. Psalm 89, directly in God's, a wonderful, wonderful section. And in verse 15, and of all David, David was God's man. Look at verse 20, just of all kinds of places. Psalm 89, verse 20. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. David, it's all David. God, David, and God, God's wonderful faithfulness to David. Now, and to Israel. Now, sliding up, back up, if I can, Psalm 89, and picking up, please, in verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance, of thy face. They're going to enjoy walking with you. Hang on, we can't go there yet, but may not get there. Hang on, in your mind, 1 John 1:7. We walk in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is doing what? Cleansing us from all sin. Now, what do we do? We're lousy. If God doesn't keep us clean, and by his blood, God, how can you deal without a lousy old nature? The blood of Jesus Christ reminds us and him that he crucified us. He finished it. We're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. I got it. Now, therefore, sliding over, if I can, in Psalm 89, over to Psalm 4. Why not? Psalm number 4. And in Psalm number 4, it's going to help us directly. May I go in the light of time and everything? Psalm 4, picking up, please, in verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Does anyone care about us? Is anyone going to be good to us? Is anyone going to help us? Verse 6, there be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light, there's the light to shine, face, light to shine, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Now God, remember the world says, where is your God? Not your church or your religion. No one expects anything out of their religion about a God. Find one. Allah. Did Allah ever talk to anybody? Is Allah ever going to talk to anybody? Never. Never. So, is Buddha going to do anything? No. No one expects anything religiously to be God, because they aren't God. Only God is God. Now, got to keep that in mind. So God, make thy face to shine upon us. That's what you, David, that's what you said, didn't you? Mm-hmm. My times are in thy hand. So God, you got to be looking to us with your face. Straightway, hang on to that. Now, having said that, in Psalm, over to Psalm 36, just to keep putting it, banging it home. God, where's the good? God's going to have to shine. Psalm 36, picking up, please, in verse 9. Psalm 36 and verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light, there's your little word to shine, light, in thy light, in thy shining, shall we see light shining. In the sunlight, you'll see the sun. In the sunlight, you'll see the sun. S-O-N, in God, in Christ, you'll see God. That's what you see. All right. In your light, God is light, and him is no darkness at all. No God. Make your face to shine. The world's, but God, that's what you want a face to shine. Because they don't want to be face to face, remember. All they see is our flesh and blood. We're just like they are, aren't we? And we have an old nature. We feel, we bleed, we get discouraged, depressed, depleted, depression. We get all those things, just like they do. Just like they do. Now, that, so they're happy, because they can't see, inside if you're saved. And inside being saved, what are you going to do? You're going to look to God, because you're a son. And you aren't outside anymore, you're inside. And God bought this body with a price, and he takes care of it in a wonderful way in what he's going to do and how he's going to do it. Now, God, so the system's there. So God, but I'm in the house. I'm in a relationship to you as a son. Now, so therefore go, if you would, in the light of that, Psalm 16. No, well, Psalm 67. Psalm 67, just to tie it. Each one gives us a little different piece of information about it so that we understand. And David's going to say it all over. There's different ways in the psalmist. And in Psalm 67, picking up in verse 1, God be merciful unto us. God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause thy face to shine upon us. What's the request of the believing heart? God, I need your smile. That's what I need. I want your face. What's it about? Being face to face. Face to face. It's about not distant somewhere, blocking off. Where's God? I don't know. We're going to pray to God. People pray to God. Well, where is he? I don't know. But he has good hearing. So we'll pray to God, you see. I listen. What? I listen to him. What'd you just do? You're not going to get God that way. No, you're not going to make it. I hear you. You aren't understanding God's presence, are you? No, you're not. Now, so therefore, in Psalm 67, verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, and thy saving health, hang on to that, among all nations. But what are you supposed to be doing? You're supposed to be able to tell the world you're an example as you're face to face with God, God in you being a son, you're walking up and down and God leaves you in order to be an example. So the world can what? Instead of being unhealthy, they can get healthy. Instead of being unhappy, they can get happy. Instead of being unholy, they can get holy. So they can change from being outside to inside. How are they going to know it? Because the believers are being God's witnesses to say it's possible, not possible, and not, it's not an angel walking around saying it. It's you and me. We're nobodies. We're sinners saved by grace. And so we're just like them. But we're on the inside, and they're on the outside. And we need to show them we're on the inside. And we're able to talk to God, look to God, trust God. That's what Deuteronomy 4 in that. What was Israel's? What did the nations say about Israel? They talked to God. The trouble is, they didn't want to hear God, so Israel lost its testimony. And it went into captivity. They lost it. Now, so having said that little bit, over to Psalm 119. And you'll pick it up, Psalm 119, and going, if I can, to verse 119. Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And measure little word, shine, the word light, shining, showing, shining, shining, showing. And smile, God's wonderful lights, shining, shining, smiling, as it were. Now, so therefore, God, here we are. Now, you want to slide down as a moving in the light of the context to verse 35. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant and teach me thy statutes. I'm looking at your word. That's what we're doing. We're looking at the Bible. The Bible is the word of God to bring us to God, to remind us about God. Do we understand? Can we make it all work? Do we make the truths work? Do we make the entrance of thy word giveth light work? No, it doesn't, because God makes it happen. So we're trusting God to make happen what he said and what he means when he said it. So therefore, God, verse 135, God, make your face to shine. God, that's what I need. God, we're brought into your house as sons. We're able to sit at your table. And God, we're able to go through the hard things. We shared them this morning a little bit. God helps us to be up and down, to be hungry and full, and to be hurting and not hurting, and all kinds of things, just like the world. The difference is we're in as sons. And as sons, we have a whole different ball game. Hang on. Now, so therefore, in Psalm 135, etc. Sliding, if I may now, little different track. Here we are. So we got shining, shine. Make thy face to shine. So God, we want thy good. We want you to be shining. We don't want it sad. God's never sad. We don't want you to be discouraged, and God's never discouraged. And God, we want you to be looking with us with pleasure. We're in your house. You brought us into your house. You brought us into your house not to be servants. You brought us into your house to be sons. It's true we're servants, but that's a whole nother ball game. We're brought into your house to enjoy your wonderful person. Now, so therefore, David, help us some more. So David, God, here's walk in the light, a sign of the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. Now, over to Psalm 27. David, you said, standing before his face. So, and you want his face to shine upon you. That's right. His countenance, his face. And therefore, in Psalm 27, picking up, please, directly in verse 8. I'll read verse 7. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So God wanted us to see his face. And David said, I want to see it. I want to see it. That's why David's heart, 1 Samuel 13, David stands out as the king of all kings, whose heart was right before God, who walked before God. He's God's choice. He had a heart for God. And David, what do you say? God said, seek ye my face. And David said, I'm done gonna seek it. I'm gonna seek it. And he did. He did. Wow. That's why God loved him for such. Well, because it make his face. So what are you saying, David? Make your face shine upon me, God. Here I am. The world's looking at me. The enemy's around me. All around. Everything's against it. But God, I'm truly a son in this age of grace for us. Truly saved. Now, having said that, in Psalm 27, picking up, if I can, over to Psalm 16. David, you had a wonderful sense of God. That's correct. Wonderful sense of God. Psalm 16. And it's David. And sliding, if I can, over, if I can, to verse 5. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup thou maintainest my lot. God, the lot is cast into my lap, and the whole disposing, outworking is you, God. Sliding down, when you're done, David, what are you going to say? What are you going to say, David, this time? Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. And in thy presence, the word presence is the word face, in thy face is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. God, make your face shine. I want to see your face. I do. I do, God. I want your pleasure on my life. That's what I want. I'm looking forward to it, God. I'm counting on it. I seek your face. And God loves to show his face. Chapter 17. David again. And picking up, if I can, in verse 17, verse 1. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips, the hypocritical lips. No, sir, I'm one sincere guy. Verse, sliding along, if I can. Psalm 17, sliding to the end, verse 15. David, say it. As for me, I will behold thy face, there's your word, in righteousness. I shall be satisfied. What's going to make you satisfied? When I awake with thy likeness. That's what it's about. We shared this morning. God's going to make you like him. Wow. We're changing. What we were, we aren't. What we are, we're not. We're becoming something else right now. We're becoming something else. We're going to be changed. Now, so, having said that, David, you're caught up in all of this. Absolutely. Psalm 139. You know it. In Psalm 139, picking up, please, in thought, here's a great psalm by David about how do you hide from the omnipresent God. You can't ever get away from God. No, you can't. So therefore, Psalm 119, 139, and in verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known my heart. Thou knowest my sitting down and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off before I think it. Sliding down, if I can, over to verse 6. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? And the word presence is the word face. Where am I going to go where you can't see me? Where am I going to go that you aren't looking at me? Always looking at me. I'm always face to face with you, God. I'm always in your presence. Presence, face. Face to face. Oh, nothing between. That's right. Always. Always. There's no way to hide from your presence. You know, as you read the psalm, wonderful, wonderful psalm, about you can't hide from God's presence in no way, shape, or form. Back over to Psalm 31, David. In Psalm 31, remember? And here's David again, help us. We shared verse 16. Make thy face to shine upon me, upon thy servant, save me for thy mercy's sake. Now that we did that, now slide down in the light of all of that movement of thought down to verse 19. Oh, how great is thy goodness. Remember what you read in Psalm 4. God, where's the goodness? The people want to know where your goodness is. So God, you got to make your face shine upon me, because there's no goodness unless you do it, unless you make it happen. Therefore, verse 19, Psalm 31. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Verse 20. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy face, thy presence. You can't. Say, how are you going to get them? Can the world see? No. When you and I are walking with God, looking to God, trusting God, they can't see. All they can see is the outworking and the results. That's what they can see. And that's what God wants them to see. Hang on. God wants them to see that. They can't go past it. They need to see that. Now, picking up in verse 20 again. Before the sons of men, the secret of thy presence from the pride of man, thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now, languages. Now, having said that, now you're ready for what we did 100 times over to Psalm 42. And in Psalm 42, you're going to recall in as verse 1, as the hart the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God, that when I shall come and appear before God. So God, it's all about, may God, it's not about the table. The table's wonderful, being in the house is wonderful, being a son is wonderful, but God, you're the Father. And the Spirit of God is never going to let you forget. He's the Father, Abba Father. You're going to say it over and over, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right? Continuous, present tense, Father, Father. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. Father, my Father. Now, having said that, sliding down, if I can, remember that verse 3, my tears have been my meat, my food day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? Where is thy God? That's what people want to know. They don't care about your religion. They don't care about church. Yeah. No, it's God. When you bring up God, you're in his presence. Ah, I don't see it. No. Nope. Ah, you got it. Where is your God? Uh-huh. Our God's in the heavens like Psalm 115, doing whatever he pleases. Now, in Psalm 42, now, God, what are you going to tell us? Why art thou, Psalm's going to say, to help us, why art thou disquieted? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, disturbed, divided up in the mind, anxious, all over the place? Hope thou in God, be looking to God. For I shall yet praise him. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to thank God. I'm not, but I'm going to. For the help of his countenance, face. I'm going to help God. I'm going to look to God. I'll praise him for the health, the saving health of his face. Make your face to shine upon me, God. I want your blessing. I want your saving health shining on me. That's what I want. You can't beat it. It's his body. And as you do that, we walk in the valley of the shadow of death. God puts a table before us and God's face shining. Whose table is it? God's. Whose steps? God's. Whose way? God's. The times, God, they're in your hands, and I'm in your hands as I go down the corridor. That's right. Now, God, you're the saving health. Your face is the saving health. God, I need your smile. I need to know it's good. Our relationship is face to face. That's what I need. Now, therefore, verse 10, as with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me. Boy, it's a tough thing. But while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? They never quit. They never quit. No, sirree. They never quit. No, sir. Nope. And as long as there's not God presented back to our country, that's why communism, socialism is going to win. Ultimately, in some form, there's no question, has to, in the light of where we're going. It has to, historically. But, they don't care about God. And the system isn't going to care about God. And we have an issue now, you know. We don't have Democrats and Republicans. we have communism, socialism versus the United States Republic, these United States. It isn't an election anymore. Clear cut. Which do you want? Take one of them. You can't have both. Don't even have to discuss it. We don't have to worry about being politics. No, no more politics. Straight down the line. That's where we're going. Wow. Rather sobering, isn't it? Interesting. And if I wasn't saved, boy, I'd try to get saved. But I can't just get saved. I have to enjoy God and believe Him. And God, I don't make you save me. You already want to save me. God, you want to make your face to shine. Therefore, verse 11, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted, disturbed, distressed, anxious within me? I don't have to be. No, siree. Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him who is the health. Remember back over down to verse 5, the word help and the word health are the same word. The saving health. I'll read the end of verse 11 again. Who shall praise Him who is the health, the saving health of my countenance and my God? Verse 5, it's your faith's God. Verse 11, your face reaches my face, and your saving health and grace finds your saving health and grace in me, and my face, your smile, has reached me, and I thank you. You did that for me. Your smile got to me, and it changed me. That's right. I need to be worried. Baloney, you say. No, no offense to baloney. You got the idea? Yeah, no, sir. Whatever you got, God, whatever you got in mind, that's what I want on that table. And I'm going to look to you to get through this. No matter how the cookie is, it's going to be to your glory. Even, like we said the other day, you get hit with a steamroller, and that's pretty awesome. God, whatever you want, you bet your boots, and let the world play with that as much as they want. You see, my God's a great God. I want your face to shine. And you're going to have the same thing in Psalm 43. I got to quit. I'll read it. Psalm 43, you're already there. Psalm 43 and verse 5, you're going to say it again, David, right? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise Him, who is the health, the saving health of my countenance. David's face. David said, I seek thy face, God. And when I sought your face, it changed my face. You read it this morning in James 1. Looking into the perfect Bible, the perfect law of liberty, what's it do? It changes you. I walk away. There's no more. But as long as I abide, branch in the vine, it shines. Shines. And when it shines here, it shines here. And that's what people need to see, isn't it? That's what the kids need to see, children. You want to reach them. You can have 25 classes, 1,000 classes. What reaches them is the reality of someone around them. A class is only an hour. Mom and Dad and you guys, all of us, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's where the influence is. And we've lost that, haven't we, in our country, in our world. The educational system and all of it has taken away your influence as a parent about God. Do I find God in the bedroom, the kitchen, the bathroom? Do I see God in the problems and the bills and the pain and the heartache? Do I see God in them? That's the testimony. And that's the power. And that will bring people to where it is. Otherwise, all of it, I'm trying to be ahead of the game here. I'm trying to tell you, it hasn't worked and our world has gone downhill like this. The church has gone downhill like this, and we're going to keep going downhill because we have lost the saltiness. We've taken the light and put it under the bushel. And where is it? Except you and I are trying to stay with it a little bit anyway. God help us. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you, thank you, thank you very, very, very much. So thank you. God, we just try to stumble through it, and God, it's a wonderful thing. We don't even know how wonderful it is, how real it is. We're always in your presence. Just trust you, to be trusting, believing. Thou will keep him, keep the heart in perfect peace as we rest upon you. God, thank you, thank you, thank you. In Christ's name, amen.